Well, this evening, this is a kind of a first in a series of six. If it goes well, we'll show all the others, the other five. So tonight is a kind of a taster, if you like. We may do prayer and praise the second session. I know some of you will be away for that. That's okay. So life on the front line. We've been singing just now, really, about the great mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own lives. We want to sing from our souls the great things he has done. We want to declare his peace to others who don't know his peace. And it's because we know his mercy and because of the great things he's done for us in Christ that motivates us, I think, and moves us to actually share. And I'm sure many of you are already doing that. But like me, sometimes you need to be encouraged about that and remotivated by that, and sometimes I'm just so downright fearful about what somebody might say to me in relation to the Lord Jesus. So if you're like me, I need all the encouragements I can get, and that's why we're doing this series, Life on the Front Line. It's from the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, and so basically this section, I'll do a little introduction. Only a little one. And then we'll see the DVD, which lasts about 10 minutes, nothing more than that. And then we'll sing a song. And then we'll do some biblical reflection. And then we'll pray. And then we'll go home, having sung the final hymn. All right, so there's the agenda. All right, so here we go. As followers of Jesus, I think we all want to live to be like him. It's the whole reason God has saved us. And one day we know that we will be perfectly like him, won't we? And how did Jesus live on this earth is a good question, isn't it? By the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth, he lived faithfully to God and he lived fruitfully for God. Faithfully and fruitfully. And after all, Jesus is Lord of the entirety of our life. And we're thankful for that. There's no aspect of our life that is kind of not knowing the lordship of Jesus. So God has placed us where he wants us. And Jesus has sent us to the people that we are called to relate to on his behalf. So if you get nothing else from life on the front line, I think that is the most important thing. God has placed us where he wants us, and Jesus has sent us to the people that we are called to relate to, whoever they may be. So let us be clear, we all have kingdom value, and we all have kingdom significance, all of us, without exception. So what does frontline mean? Well, here's the definition. It is the place where you spend the majority of your time outside of church, where you're in contact with non-Christians, where you are with the people who need to know the saving power of God in Jesus. It's the place where you spend the majority of your time, and my time, outside of church, where you are in contact with non-Christians, where you are with the people who need to know the saving love of God in Jesus. End quote. Not my definition, but as good as any. And this matters. We now know that only 7% of people in our country go to church. So 93% of the population do not go to church whatsoever. And in some parts of our country, the percentage is less than 1%. And we are sent to, by Jesus, to be salt and light in our everyday context. We are God's servants, and we are to grow as disciples, learning to follow him as we encourage each other to follow him. And part of this little series is not simply to say, well, what's my front line and what's going on there? But what's going on in everybody else's front line? Now, I want to make clear this is not a pastoral checkup to see what's going on, okay? This is really just an encouragement to all of us to say, yeah, here's my front line. And this is what's going on. And we need to hear about each other's front lines. So we'll, not tonight, but we will on other occasions give opportunity for that. So we all have a front line, and it matters. And it's here that God is shaping us and using us. So we need to understand why God has placed us there. I think we already understand that. We need to be able to go there every day, possibly, many days at least, in God's strength for his purpose. That's scary, isn't it? It is for me. But it's also exciting. Because you never know what God's going to do, do you? So yes, there are struggles. And we'll be able to share some of those struggles as the evenings emerge. But there will be stories to tell about what God is beginning to do and continuing to do in the lives of people that we're speaking to and sharing Jesus with. So that's the introduction. Right, so we're going to have a look at the DVD. Who's going to come and put that on? I wouldn't trust me with a TV. And we'll see the first session. Only about 10 minutes. Right, disappointed with the DVD because Anne doesn't take the veg in the fridge. Went for the cake. That's not real, is it? Crumbs. No, that's fine. Right, maybe a question, and then we'll sing. And we can interact with this. How would we encourage a friend who kept on saying to us, a Christian friend, well, God could never use me in my context? So I thought, just think for a moment or two. So you've got this friend, you're having coffee with them regularly, so they're a good friend. You can trust each other. And they keep on saying the same thing. God could never use me. I understand that he might use you, they might say, because you're clued up and stuff, and you've been a Christian for a long time, and you're a nice person, and you smile a lot. But he couldn't use me. So how would we encourage that friend to think differently? And actually, we may actually be asking ourselves to think differently too, because we might actually feel the same thing. So how would we encourage our friend? Take a moment or two, and then I'll let you kind of react to that. It's all right. You need a moment. You can talk to somebody if you find that's easier for you to do. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. There's no silent rule. Okay, well, there you go. Well, why not? I think it's a great point, Clara. If God can use me, you know, because all my fears and weaknesses and, you know, idiosyncrasies, yes, then he can use anybody. Absolutely. What else? So you've got plenty of examples in the Bible of people who didn't want to be used by God. And you could think of Moses. And you could think of a whole squad of other people who said, not me. You can't use me. No, don't use me, in Moses' case. So, yeah, right, good. What else? No, that's very important, isn't it? We're all different. Look at us. And we can relate to people in different ways. So God doesn't just have one kind of robotic evangelist that he's programmed. It's a whole group of people who are massively different. That's really important, isn't it? Good. What else? Hugh, go ahead, and then we'll come over here.
And look for little ways that actually they can begin to make a difference.
Yep.
Be it having a lapel pin or something on that points out that they are a Christian, or having a little thing that
Okay. Yeah, so you can actually make some suggestions that may be helpful, maybe could take up. What else? Somebody else over here? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's a lordship issue, isn't it? None of us can opt out just because I don't like the look of it. I find it difficult, but it is a lordship issue. And Jesus is with us, all of us, without exceptions. Wherever we might be, we may feel all on our own. That's one of the lies that just goes round, doesn't it? But actually, it's not true. We are not on our own. He's with us, as we'll see in a moment or two. Anything else? Well, Steve, feel free. Yes. Yeah. No, please not. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, very important. Why did he make you in the first place? If you think about that, the way he made you. Debbie was going to say something as well. Yes. Yes.
But if they keep saying to themselves and reminding them from Scripture, my God is big,
yes,
he's always with me,
yep,
he's never going to leave me,
yep,
you know, that's what she's filling, or I'm filling my life with,
yep,
that's what's going to come out in my actions.
Yes, yes. And without preaching this morning's sermon, Revelation 5, really, the Lamb reigns and is worthy and willing, there you go, once again, so that we can be freed to live in faith with hope in our hearts. That's what Revelation 5 was all about. If you didn't get that, now you know. And sorry for this morning if you didn't. So how big is our God? And he's with us and for us in all of this. Okay, well, there's a nibble of those things. So maybe the course is... put down some questions. We're not going to answer those questions, but it might be interesting for you to identify where is your front line. Okay, so that should be significantly obvious to you. Where do you spend most of your time outside of church with non-Christians? So where is your front line? What is happening in your front line at this moment in time? It could be all kinds of stuff kicking off, couldn't it? Who is there in your front line? Who are the people that are present in all of that? And you will have faces before your eyes now. What resources do you need to help you to be on the front line? And how can your church community help you in all of that? So, where is your front line? What's happening there? Who is there? What resources do you need to continue to be there, and how can your church community help you in terms of encouragement, etc.? Okay? 5 questions. You may want to reflect on them, because maybe when we start to share about our front lines, then that gives you a framework of thinking about what that's all about. Right. You'll need some Bibles now. Matthew chapter 28. It's a well-known passage of Scripture, and that's the danger of it, isn't it? We actually know this passage probably very well indeed. But I'm going to read Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through to 20. I don't know what page number it is in a church Bible. But 886, thank you, Hugh. So Matthew 28. Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So this is our co-mission, something that we do alongside Jesus, or Jesus does alongside us. Don't miss that truth, I think. It is our mission under God, but it's our co-mission with Jesus. That's very important, as we will see. And you recognize just how human these disciples were. They had been told to travel to Galilee. It was where the original commission was given, that they were going to be fishers of human beings, or men, if you wish. And now the risen Jesus comes and speaks with them. They're very human, aren't they? Where's the evidence in this text that they were extremely human individuals? Okay, it's there. It's not a trick question. Some doubted. Isn't that interesting? Some worshipped, and some doubted. So, yes, sometimes we worship, and sometimes we doubt. We're just human beings in all of this. And they're actually commissioned, as you can see, to go into all the world. Now, I don't know how you would have felt about that. You've got 11 blokes on a Galilean hillside, and Jesus announces, oh, by the way, you're going into all the world. Well, I've got enough problems, you know, just fishing in Galilee, never mind going into all the world. It's a terrifying prospect, I think. And so we are part of the people who feel the fear of that, because it's now come down to us whilst we're on this earth. So there are four alls here. That's how I want to open it up, and you're going to interact with me on it. So there are four alls, and the first one is in verse 18. And it says, all authority is given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. All authority. So here's the question. Why is that so important, not only for 11 disciples on the Galilean mountainside to know, but a bunch of people meeting in the back hall of TCM in 2019? So why is that so massively important to us to hear and understand? All authority. Okay, interact with me. You can talk to me. Why is it important?
The first question that's asked is, how dare you declare this as truth?
Yes.
How can you declare this as truth?
Yes.
Well, if we've got Christ's authority,
yes,
as truth, therefore,
yes,
it is.
Yes, so we have every right to go into all the world. Okay, we have his authority to do it, and that's the only authority that we need. Okay, good. Thank you, Hugh. What else? We're on the winning side. Do we believe we're on the winning side? Yes. Sometimes we forget that. How do we know we're on the winning side? Well, because he has risen from the dead, and he reigns forever, as we heard this morning, and he's in charge of all history. So we're on the winning side, people, even sometimes when it doesn't look like it. But remember that. What else? All authority. Yes, oh, very important. He's over even the opposition to us, which is not just people, though it includes them who don't want to believe, but also it includes Satan and his nasty strategies. So the world and Satan are under the control of the absolute sovereignty of Jesus. All right? There's no area that they can go to and say, we're outside of the authority of Jesus. Doesn't exist. Okay, what else?
It's interesting that it says all authority is given to me.
Yes.
It's from God. And I know the Trinity. Yeah,
that's fine. Yes. All authority. Which takes you back again to this morning. I didn't see the connection so much until you started talking. But you see, Revelation 4, you have God, the Lord God Almighty, and the scroll in his hand. And then chapter 5, you've got the human agent of God coming and taking the scroll. It's been given to me. And Jesus has the authority to save people because he's finished work on the cross, as well as to obviously exercise justice. Good. Anything else? Maybe not. Maybe other than this, that actually what you're asked to do, i.e. the will of God, is doable. Isn't it? Why? Because Jesus is doing it through us. So I think that's very important. We'll get to the point that he's with us, but, you know, we do it under his authority, but we also do it in his power. Because authority means power, doesn't it? So all authority, well, that's good news, isn't it? Okay. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Now make disciples. The word make here, the word make is a command. And it determines the force of everything in this passage now. We are to make, not by force of arms, of course. So what is the force that we use to make disciples? What's the force? The gospel, very important. The good news about Jesus, that's the only force that we have. Alongside that, godly lives that we live that evidence the gospel. And therefore, we are disciples. We are learning to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, learn to be his servants. And therefore, what we do is we see that other people learn to become followers of Jesus and learn to live under his lordship. So there's only one Lord who is to be followed, isn't there? So there's only one way to God. Let's say that again. Because I'm not sure sometimes, even in Christian circles, that we're holding to that. Yes, people have sincere religious views. I'm not disputing that religion has its sincere views. But only one Lord. And only one way to God. No other way. Which makes the imperative rather important, doesn't it? That we are to make disciples, not by force, of course, but by sharing the good news and by living out the gospel in our lives. So we are to go to all nations. Notice that? All people groups, all subcultures, all different languages. Now that is, in fact, actually the commission that you and I have received. And that includes your front line and my front line. Unless your front line is not in this world, okay, then you've got an exception. And so have I. And Sudderbrook is my front line, and, well, I don't know what that means, but I understand that that's where my front line is. So we've all got the front line. We're to go to all nations, to all peoples, to all kinds of peoples. And we're to go, notice that. And that's obvious, isn't it? But the message doesn't spread itself, does it? The message doesn't spread itself. If you read the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation, God's message had to come through human beings, always. I know there were angels involved, and I know that God could speak directly from heaven, of course. But generally speaking, it came through human beings. Very important. Got to spread it. The shepherds heard the good news, didn't they, in Bethlehem? And what did they have to do? They had to go to their culture. And shepherds were despised people. And yet go to their culture, and they had to share the good news about Jesus. We're to make disciples. Like ourselves. And we are to baptize. I'm not going to delve into too much about baptism, which is our initial entry into, or our initial confession of entry to trusting in Jesus. And of course, we get baptized people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. because although we may not understand all the aspects of the Trinity, I have to say to you that what is unique about Christianity is that we believe there is one God and there are three persons who are equally and eternally God. And that is a non-negotiable. All nations. Thirdly, we are to teach these disciples that have been made and been baptized. What are we to do? We teach them, verse 20, to observe everything I have commanded you. So how does a person grow as a new follower of Jesus? What is this teaching all about? We can interact with that, please. So what's this teaching all about? It is. Yep. So there will be an initial thing. Of course, there must be. People have to hear the gospel and understand it. But it has to go beyond that. We're not asked to make converts. We're asked to make disciples who learn to follow Jesus in his lordship. Very good. Thank you. Anything else? If we are to teach them everything. No, it is a continuous process, which is true for all of us, isn't it? Unless, of course, you've arrived, and then you should be in heaven, and you're not, so you haven't, and neither have I. So I need to go on being taught everything that Christ commanded. So in other words, we need to teach the entire Bible, really and truly, to make a disciple. It takes a whole Bible to make a disciple. And the sufficiency of Scripture, I think, then, is also implied by all of that, isn't it? There's nothing missing in this to make disciples. You don't have to find something else, do you? Here it is. Oh, it's all here. That's the discipleship manual, isn't it? We don't need to rewrite it. Don't need to think some clever ways up. Here it is. Teach them everything I have commanded you. That's all things in terms of teaching. And then finally, as we conclude this bit, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he's not just the Lord over us, is he? He is. But he's the Lord with us. And that's why it's a lie to believe that in my front line, I'm just all on my own. I may struggle in my front line, and I may struggle to be a Christian in my front line, but I'm not on my own. The Lord Jesus Christ is with me, isn't he? And as a young generation is coming through, and they will go to their front line, won't they? Yes. The youngsters will grow up. They'll go to our front line if they're following the Lord Jesus. To be a witness for him in their front line? Will Jesus be with them? How do you know? It says so. And what does it, what, yes, I agree. But what does it say that underlines that in this text? Drive you to the text. To the very end of the age. To the very end of the age. Jesus is going to see the job done. And so, yep, all authority, all nations, teaching them all things, and remember, I'm with you always. Father, give us eyes to see these people through your eyes. How can we love them and serve you in doing so? Jesus, Carpenter King, give us eyes to see this work through your eyes. How would you have done it? Indeed, how are you doing it? Spirit of grace and truth, give us faith to know that truly you will turn our praying into fruit for your glory. As we offer our lives afresh to you and return to our front lines this week, Spirit of grace and truth, fill us with power, with courage, with love, with perseverance. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lamb who reigns today in all his glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe some takeaway. No, not Chinese takeaway, but takeaway. That prayer was part of the takeaway, by the way. I think just maybe how can I just remind myself of some of this stuff as I continue in my front line. And maybe I need to keep praying for my neighbors every time I come outside the door. I pray that I might actually do that. It's very easy to say that here, isn't it? And then, you know, tomorrow morning in all the busyness, forget all about that. We may never have an opportunity to share Jesus with our neighbors. I can't say we will, but we can at least be praying for them. You could go to work slightly earlier, and you could just pray before everybody else arrives, because that's your front line. You could have a theme song and play it every morning as you go maybe to work or into your frontline context, wherever that might be. And just allow that theme song to fill your mind and heart with hope and focus on Christ. Maybe you could stick something on your screensaver as some kind of a tangible reminder that you're on the front line for the sake of Christ.